You go to school to get an education. You go to work to make a living. You go home at the end of the day to rest. You go to the gym to get exercise. You go to the grocery store to get food. You go to the lake to fish. You go to the beach to relax. But a church service, why go there? Friends, we're glad that you've joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. Church, why bother? You know, some look upon a church service where you go to worship God as a bother. It's kind of a nuisance to them. It's something that is in the way of their busy routine and schedule. It's an unnecessary burden to be avoided at all costs. I know of folks who, when you invite them, they say, no, thanks. They've got better things to do. Sometimes you'll invite someone to a church service and they'll make excuses. Some I've heard recently say that they have visited different churches of Christ and they are not happy with what they've seen. And so whether it's that or a number of other things that are said, they have excuses for why they will not come. If they do go, they go because they have to. They're forced to. Sometimes folks will go on Christmas or Easter, but no other time. They might go at Mother's Day if their mother asks them to go with them. But they don't go because they want to. They don't go because they enjoy worshiping God, singing hymns of praise to God, reading from God's Word, and other things that the New Testament church did to worship God. Some will go, but with a bare minimum approach. Give me the fewest amount of times that I have to go and be right with God. Or they'll go when it's convenient. If there is a particular Sunday where I'm absolutely not doing anything else, I may wander into a church building. This morning, friends, on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to answer the question, church, why bother? Why bother going to a church building to worship God? In the New Testament, church is always people. It's an assembly of people who come together to worship God. Why assemble with the church? Why assemble with the people? Why bother with that? We're going to answer that this morning with our Bible open. I want to suggest to you this morning a few reasons why it should matter to us. Why we should bother with getting up. And yes, let's face it. It's a period of time on a Sunday where we get dressed and we get ready and we come and we devote our lives to God. It is cutting into our schedule, absolutely. But there's good reason for that, friends. And so this morning I want to look at some biblical statements that are made as to why we should care about coming to assemble to worship God. We're going to look at some scriptures and then I want to ask some questions toward the end of our study this morning just to get us to reason and to think and use our mind and think through this idea of not wanting to come to worship God. I want us to think through that idea. Many do that. Why do I not do that? What's different about them? Why are they different from me? And so I hope that our study this morning will be helpful. First of all, why bother to assemble together on a Sunday or some other occasion to worship God? Well, consider three things about what God has done for us. Number one, because God bothered to create you and me through His power. And I'm using the word bother in quotation marks there, meaning He was concerned about that. That was a priority with him. He created you and me through his power. We are made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27. In Job chapter 10 and verse 8, thy hands have framed me and fashioned me. In Psalm 95 and verse 6, Psalm 95 is a great psalm about coming together to worship God. And one reason that is given there in Psalm 95 and verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Jehovah our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. God made us. He bothered to create us. Can we not just simply come from time to time and worship Him? In Psalm 139, the great psalm about the omnipresence of God, He is everywhere. In Psalm 139 and verse 14, I will give thanks unto Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. My frame was not hidden from Thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see mine unformed substance, and in Thy book they were all written, even the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was none of them. Talking about being formed in the womb of our mother, God knew all of that and created all of that. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, a picture of heaven where there are those who are worshiping God around the throne, and He is described as the creator of all things. Revelation 4 and verse 11. Why bother? Because God bothers to create you and me through His power. Number two, because God bothers to sustain us through His care. He doesn't just simply create, but He upholds and sustains each day that which He has created. He does not let it fall apart. Paul spoke to the Athenians in Acts chapter 17 and verse 25, and he said, in God, in Him, we live and move and have our very being. Through the providence of God, He upholds all things. The world is not simply running through natural laws without God. There are natural laws that He has ordained, but He could allow all of that to end anytime He wants. Speaking of Jesus Christ in Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in Him were all things created, and in heaven and upon earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through Him and unto Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist, literally, hold together. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, speaking of Jesus Christ and the various attributes of deity there, the Hebrew writer says that He is appointed heir of all things, through whom also He, Jesus, made the worlds, who, being the effulgence of His glory and the very image of His substance, and upholding all things by the word of His power. So it's not just a matter of God through Jesus creating things, but God through Jesus caring for all things. Plant kingdom, animal kingdom, human beings. And He cares to do that each day. He knows the very number of the hairs of our head. He takes care of the birds, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He takes care of the flowers. And He takes care of us. In Acts chapter 14, Paul said to those there that He causes it to rain and give fruitful seasons. James 1, 17, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. So, we need to understand that God is caring to do things for us. Can we turn around weekly and care to do some things for him? And number three, because God bothers to save us through his love. He sent his son to die on the cross, the well-known passage, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He cared to save us and send his son to die on the cross for our sins. Can we not turn around and care weekly to worship him? In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We can be saved through Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We were once in sin, but Jesus came to save us. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God being rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved. And raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. By grace through faith. If we will exercise our obedient faith, we can be saved by God's grace. And all of those verses speak of God sending his son Jesus to save us. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, through 12, Jesus is praised by a heavenly host. They sing a new song, saying, Revelation 5, 9, worthy art thou to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and didst purchase unto God with thy blood men of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made them to be unto our God a kingdom and priest, and they reign upon the earth. Verse 12, worthy is the Lamb that hath been slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Died on the cross so that every tribe and tongue and people, it doesn't matter who you are, your color, your background, your social status, your economic status, your educational background, anyone, everyone, all over the world can be saved through Jesus Christ. God bothers to create us. He bothers to sustain us each day. He bothers to save us. And again, I'm using that word bother in quotation, like we use it today. I could say he cares. He's mindful. He puts forth the effort to do these things, to create us, to sustain us each day, and to save us through his son, Jesus Christ. Can we not turn around and do the same? Have the same care and concern and plan to come worship him each week? What would it take, friend, to get you to come to a church service? What would it take? You know, that's an interesting question. There are a lot of churches across the land that are trying to jazz up their services to get people to come. I hear of all kinds of things from time to time. Sometimes a church will have a circus. Sometimes a church will bring in dirt and have a rodeo or a monster truck rally. They'll bring in all kinds of entertainment and fun and food and games. I heard of one church back in the 1990s in the Houston, Texas area that was having belly dancing. I guess the men showed up for that more so than a regular service. I don't know. Trying to jazz up the service in some way. Trying to make it exciting and fun. I heard of one church that was putting money under the pew. And depending upon where you sat, if you reached under the seat there, you could get some money. Can you imagine? That's what it takes to get some people to come to worship the Almighty God of the universe. They have to be baited and lured and tempted and drawn in some way to come and worship God. They won't just do that out of their own love for God. What would it take for you to come and worship God with New Testament Christians at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ? We meet on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. Sometimes we will meet on other occasions, even during the week. We have a vacation Bible school in the summer. We have different gospel meetings where we will meet from Thursday to Sunday, a long weekend, different times. What would it take to get you to come? We don't offer any kind of special gimmicks. We don't try to jazz up the service. We just simply want to come ourselves and want others to come simply out of one's love and devotion and care for God. Nothing more, nothing less. What would it take to get you to come? I'm going to turn back to the Bible now and look at a few things in answer to that question. What would it take for you to come, to attend, to assemble for a couple of hours on Sunday morning, 1 hour on Sunday night, 1 hour on Wednesday night, a total of 4 hours a week? It's not that much. People will spend more than 4 hours at a ball game. They will spend more than 4 hours at the lake and the golf course and watching TV. Many hours each week are spent on the computer or watching TV, but we can't spend 4 or less hours worshiping God. What would it take? Let me ask you this. Would it take more love from God? Would it take more love? He has shown His love in a great and wonderful way. And I mentioned James 1:17 earlier. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. He's given us all the gifts that we need, both physical and spiritual, to live from day to day. Can He give any more? He gave His only begotten Son. No, it doesn't take more love from God. Really, it takes more love from us. That's where the more love needs to come from, not God, but from us. Jesus said in Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38, that we are to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. That's where there really needs to be more love. God is doing His part, has done, will do, and is doing now. He's showing His love and giving us everything we need. There just needs to be more love from us, friends. Let me ask you this. Would it take a better God to worship? Would it take a better God to worship? No, we have a great God. In my sermon last Sunday night, I spoke about the greatness of God from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 40, verse 25, "To whom then will you liken me that I should be equal to him, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who hath created these," talking about the heavens, the stars, "that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and for that he is strong in power, not one is lacking." Earlier in verse 2, "God sits above the circle of the earth." God cannot be any better or greater than he is. In Psalm 86, verse 8 and 9, Psalm 86, verse 8 and 9, there is none like unto thee among the gods, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord. People come and worship because of his greatness. No, we don't need a better God or a greater God. What we need are better children of God. We can be better and greater. And we can come and worship the Almighty God of the universe. We can grow. We can improve. We can get greater and better in our service. Number three. Would it take a better book to read and study the Bible? In Psalm 19, we read about God's world and then God's word. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 7, speaking of the word of God, the law of Jehovah is perfect, complete, restoring the soul. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Jehovah is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Jehovah is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of Jehovah are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the droppings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, that is by God's word, is thy servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. No, we don't need a better book to read and study. We have the great word of God. What we need are better students of the book. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, when Paul left Thessalonica and went to Berea, he found that the Bereans were more noble and fair-minded. They searched the scriptures when he was preaching to see if what he was saying was true. They searched the scriptures daily, the text says, Acts 17:11. We need to be like the Bereans. We don't need a better book. We need better students of the book. And we can be that. Let me ask you this. What would it take to get you to come to a church service? Would it take a better group of people to be with? When you stop and think about individuals that are striving to be New Testament Christians, you're talking about individuals who are the best individuals in the world to be with. No, they're not without sin. You'll find a Christian that has a sin in their life, but they get rid of that if they're following God's word properly and they have the right attitude. They're not sinless. They're not perfect in that way. But they are striving to live according to God's word and will, and that raises us up and it makes us the best person that we can be. And you're with the best people that you can be with. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 concerning Christians, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For ye receive not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him." They act the right way. They're kind and forgiving and loving and caring. They're trying to live pure lives. Their mind and life is not in the gutter. Their tongue is not in the gutter. Their mind is not there. You don't have to worry about being lied to and tricked and deceived. No one's going to hurt you. We need to think about being around Christians. Like the Good Samaritan, they are sacrificial and caring and giving. And there are other qualities that we find in the New Testament of New Testament Christians. We can be with them on a regular basis. We don't need a better group to be with. What we need is more consideration for that group in order to be there and not forsake that assembling. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, the Hebrew writer tells Christians not to forsake the assembling of themselves together. They come together to stir up and encourage one another to love and good works. Don't forsake that. We need to consider the importance of being with Christians. What would it take to get you to come? We don't need more love from God. We don't need a better God to worship. We don't need a better book to study. We don't need a better group to be with. We have all that already. We just simply need to better ourselves and change our attitude and start coming and worshiping God. What about those who worship? You ever thought about that? Those who worship on a regular basis, do they have more time than we do? No, they have the same number of hours and minutes and seconds in the week. They just choose to use some of that to worship God. Do they have better transportation than you and I do? No. We have the same kind of cars that they do. Do they live closer to the church building than we do? Not necessarily. Do they have fewer family to get ready and fewer home and family obligations than we do, and so that's why they go? Nope. They have the same. They just simply choose to spend time worshiping God. What about you and I, friend? We have the same amount of time and the same kind of transportation, and we don't live that far from the Warfield Boulevard building, 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville. And if you have need for transportation, if you'll contact us, we'll be glad to help you with that. We don't have more family obligations. The difference is, New Testament Christians, if they have anything different, it's an attitude of wanting to worship God. They have work responsibilities and marriage and family responsibilities just like we do. They have projects around the house and a yard to cut and guests to come, errands to run and flat tires to fix and cars to repair and favorite TV shows, and they get tired and they have headaches and allergies and health issues. They have children with homework and parties to attend. But in all of that, they make time to come and worship God. Will you do that, friend? Church, why bother? Because God bothers to care for us. Let's bother to come and worship Him. We're glad that you've joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, and we hope that you'll have a good day.